are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So we're going to number three on the triple dipper, by golly. Just don't try and stop me, Butters. I'm just on a roll. It's dipper number three. So I had a, back up, Phil. Take a breath. Here we go. EV Go Home. That's the name of the dipper. EV Go Home. Electric vehicles. So, I mean, all right, I'm going to go ahead and say it again because I feel like I have to because I know there's some out there that will accuse me of saying otherwise. You ready? On the record at 4:25 p.m. on January the 8th, 2024. If you want to get an EV, go get it. If you want an EV, absolutely. More power to you, go get it. If you feel like that's the way to go, then I do not fault you one bit. Go get it. I don't want one. Me personally, I do not. I like my internal combustion engine. Just call me old school, but I just do. But I read you a story last week about the firefighters down yonder in Pine Level, Alabama, which I think is down near Autauga County. Yeah, it was Autauga County. They had a Tesla Model Y that caught fire. It took 36,000 gallons of water to put it out. 36,000 gallons of water for one car. You know, you could immerse the entire car in 36 gallons. You could immerse probably several of them in 36,000 gallons. How big would that be? Would the entire studio be underwater with 36,000 gallons? I just have a hard time fathoming that number.
You're really trying to ask me to do...
Are we looking at a swimming pool here?
Math. We got a bunch of engineers up in Huntsville.
Okay. All right. Some of y'all tell me how big the swimming pool has to be for 36,000 gallons of water just to give me a mental image. But here's the bottom line. First of all, EVs are definitely creating all new issues. Story here on AL.com came out today. This is what sparked... Oh, no pun intended. This is what sparked this particular dipper. As more electric vehicles roll out, Alabama firefighters face challenges when batteries ignite. All right, it's not an issue that only happens once in a while. It happens all too often, so much so that they're beginning to get special training on how to handle it. Man, the comment was made, this was a first for Autauga County on that Pine Level fire. Electric vehicles are unusual. They present unique challenges. They can reignite hours or days after they're first extinguished. Birmingham Fire and Rescue Chief Clay Hinden said firefighters across the country are learning how to contend with all of this. And says Pine Level kind of caught a bad rap because of the way they handle it, but they did exactly what the guidelines told them to do, Hinden said. So in electric vehicles, the story points out that the Li-ion batteries, they're part of the structural components of the car, and they're in the floor pan, and they're encased in a steel box that they call a vault. If they get impacted, like if you run over a piece of road debris and it pierces the body, it can catch fire immediately. So I'm sure they have all kinds of skid plates and, you know, protections, but you know what? Stuff happens. You have a wreck. You have some kind of major damage. So you put them in this box to protect them. It says, but that box also prevents us from getting access to them to put water on them when they do catch on fire. We're completely isolated from it. It's a double-edged sword. So all of this to say, we are seeing unique challenges right now in the EV market. But it's not just fires. It's not just safety issues related to what happens when the batteries spark. Even though across the country over 200 mobility fires or overheating, this has been reported from 39 states, 19 fatalities. It's a thing, y'all. But then you get into just, okay, how are they doing on the road themselves? What does Consumer Reports have to say about it? There might be something. I'll tell you about that when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Final half hour, go home time. Some of y'all in your EVs. We'll be right back. to Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right. We are back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation, this one right here, Alabama. Y'all, this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, thrown in just for good measure. Hey, by the way, I tell you who else covers a whole lot of ground, and I think it's getting even bigger. Is our friends over at Southern Immediate Care. Southern Immediate Care, a chain of clinics that covers like a big swath of our big listening area. Locations like Gadsden, Anniston, Atala, six locations now around the Birmingham area. Just added one in Helena. Southern Immediate Care. Y'all, they're open 7 days a week, and they will see all ages. I mean, like you get sick on a Saturday morning. Do you wait till Monday? No. Southern Immediate Care. Doesn't matter what age group, they can see you as a walk-in if necessary. You can get your shots. You can get your x-rays there. And listen, by the way, this is who I use personally. And I say that with all sincerity. This is who I use personally. I have been using them since well before they advertised. In fact, they advertised because I was so pleased. I went and asked them, hey, would you guys mind advertising on the show? I'd love to talk about you. And they said, yeah. Doesn't hurt when they're owned by a right side ruffian. But Southern Immediate Care. You need something, you look them up. Check them out. Find the location nearest to you. Head on down there. And while you're filling out those forms, tell them you heard about it on Right Side Radio. I would appreciate that. All right. I am back in this. The EV Go Home. By the way, I knew this would happen. I invited people to tell me how big a swimming pool you have for 36,000 gallons of water. And I got some people that know stuff in our audience. Gary from Decatur says his swimming pool, and he sent a picture of it, is 36,700 gallons. That's a good-sized pool. That's a lot of pool. That's, by the way, that's a beautiful pool. I'm suffering from pool envy right now. Thank you, Gary. Appreciate you. JT Lacey Springs says a room that is 20 by 24 with 10-foot ceilings holds 36,000 gallons. JT, you are the man. And by the way, I'm just going to take that at face value and believe he's right.
That's not a small room. No, that's a lot of water.
That's like our big green room area out here in the right outside the studio.
And I don't know if we got any firefighters out there. That'd be great to hear from you. But what I did find in the quick search was 500 to 1,000 gallons for the typical car.
500 to 1,000 gallons to put out the typical car fire.
Yeah.
Okay. We kind of surpassed that.
Yeah, 36,000 is a little bit more than 1,000.
Lewis from Trinity says my swimming pool is 16 by 32. From a 3 foot in the shallow to 6 foot holds 22,000 gallons. Okay. Chris from Gadsden says, why don't you just use water to put out that's why you don't use water to put out electrical fire. Fire extinguisher for electricity is some kind of chemical foam. Well, I think that's where we're headed but now are they going to have to carry foam on the trucks? That's the thing. Have to have like the foam truck like you have at the airfield to foam down the car.
Yeah, or it'll be, all right, guys, break out the Tesla blanket. We're just going to drop the blanket on top.
And you just smother it.
Smother it.
I have a feeling it's almost going to burn without oxygen. It's just going to keep going. All right, but I didn't mean to get into this. The whole dipper is not meant to be they burn, because they burn. We've established that. And they burn more than usual. But how about, though, when you've got a mandate? Let me pull this one out first. Fox News. Article that came out December of 21st of last year, right before Christmas, the Biden administration issued new guidance for all federal government employees, which, by the way, will include military. You go on TDY, you're traveling somewhere, you will prioritize using electric vehicles, trains, and public transportation. You will prioritize it. It doesn't talk about cost. It doesn't talk about efficiency. It doesn't talk about availability. Now, granted, if it's not available, then okay. But I've got an article here from Fox Business, January 7th. EV excursion from Chicago to New York in a Tesla tests its charging effectiveness. So you're going to tell me now that you're going to send somebody out on TDY to the NTC, National Training Center in Fort Irwin, California, where they are, you know, 30 miles from anywhere. And when they get there, they have to prioritize getting an EV. And if an EV is available, they're going to have to take it. And then they got to drive an extended range on a regular basis because there's probably no BOQs or other quarters available on post. So they're going to be doing lots of driving. And then they got to find a charging station because, you know, charging station. What's it like to take a road trip in an electric vehicle? Fox Business's Jeff Flock put Biden's electric vehicle car hype to the test, embarking on an 800-mile trip in a Tesla on Tuesday from Chicago to New York, documenting each charge along the way. What he said was he had to rent a Tesla Model Y, boasting a range of 260 to 310 miles. That's a big difference, by the way. Depending on the trim, on a full charge, it can be recharged over 50,000 global superchargers. However, sometimes finding them means going on a more circuitous route. It also said, though, if you find the right station, you can charge up fairly quickly. I guarantee it's not near as quick as getting gas in your car. He turned it into a 16-hour drive. Normally, it compares to about 13 hours in a gas-powered vehicle. He talked about it as if he didn't mind it. But here's the thing. When you're on a 800-mile trip, do you want to add 3 hours? Do you want to pay more to rent an electric vehicle? And should the taxpayers have to be forced to pay for that electric vehicle just because your boss said so? It's a question I have to ask. I see you shaking your head.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, I mean, look, if it fits, if it works, let the market decide.
Well, that's where we are. How about that for the next article? Thank you for segueing me so graciously into my next article.
That's what I'm here for.
Electric cars don't have a demand problem. They have an affordability problem. Story came out in October from Business Insider. So the bottom line is this. Says, particularly for longtime EV skeptics, it'd be easy to interpret all the recent talk about slowing demand for electric cars as a scathing indictment of the technology and a comforting reminder that gasoline will always be king. But EVs don't have a demand problem. They have an affordability problem. I'm going to suggest that that's incorrect. I think it's both. I don't think there's a huge demand for EVs, partly because the public has not been convinced yet. So I don't think that it's all affordability. But when you tell somebody they got to buy that thing, but that thing costs them more than the thing they already have, and you're going to make the thing they have obsolete by executive order, you know, that's not the free market.
Yeah.
Not by a stretch.
You know, the idea that gas will always be king, somebody along the way said, you know, the horse will always be king. These darn contraptions with these wheels that ain't got no horses, they're never going to, that's just a fad. Like, that was probably said by somebody. And
probably.
Something will, you know, but it happened with a very quick transition from horses to cars because they just made the world better. Like, we got more commerce done. We got to places faster, and that's what's supposed to drive the transition, the revolution in technology, and not shove down our throats.
But there was also no government mandate. The free market saw a thing.
Yeah.
People wanted the thing.
Hey.
They developed a better and better and better thing, and people got that. Henry Ford came along and made it mass produced.
Yeah. That thing doesn't poop in the street, and it doesn't smell bad, and I can get in it and go. It's let the market decide.
The only problem is it doesn't breed smaller cars. Just let that one ride. All right. So the story goes on to say here from Business Insider, there's a gap in between before a product really takes off. And what he's saying here is there's a gap. There are people that wanted it. It's like the iPhone 97, you know, that comes out. There are people that will stand in line. Oh, my God, the latest iPhone is out. Oh, my God, did you get down there? Did you see what it'll do? It has more apps. Oh, my God. And they're down there waiting in line, sleeping on the sidewalks next to the homeless people, waiting for the next iPhone 97 to come out. They'll do that. But once that flurry is over, then the market subsides because the people that were looking for the product up front in the initial fray, they're the flurry. Then it peters out and it stabilizes and it becomes a market norm. And right now what we're seeing is this particular dealer, he's an EV industry analyst at Guidehouse Insights. He's also, I think he works in the auto industry. He said, we're running out of people now that want to spend $60,000 plus on a car or are willing to stretch to have to get it. So what he's saying is basically, the initial flurry we've seen may have been the flurry of the people that wanted these, and now we're running out of those.
Hey, Elon Musk wasn't dumb. I mean, he started with a Roadster, an expensive, fast, fun car for the early adopters. And then he took it, and I got to give him, you got to give a guy respect to take one of his cars, put it on a rocket, and launch it into space. Like, he was like, oh, okay, I'll consider giving him my money at some
point.
Which
I still think was pretty cool. Seeing spaceman flying away in a Tesla.
And he built a demand, and he built a business out of it.
EVs from mainstream brands are not as affordable as their gasoline equivalents. A moderately optioned Ford Mustang Mach-E SUV costs at least $50,000. While an electric F-150 pickup with a larger battery pack, which you would probably want, costs $70,000. Toyota's lone electric model, the $42,000 BZ4X SUV, well, anyway, bottom line is everything's more expensive. I think that's part of it. I think most folks are saying the initial foray into people that were looking for this, that's starting to peter out. They catch fire? What? Can't find a charging station? 16-hour trip when it should have been 13 hours? Why do I want that? Oh, you're going to make me do it. Oh, now I have to go on TDY and I have to get a freaking electric vehicle. And I'm going to be on the side of the road, and I'm going to spend half my TDY trying to get receipts back from charging stations. DC green lights a electric vehicle mandate, despite critics sounding alarm on high consumer costs. January 3rd, story came out last week. The nation's capital is joining several states, led by California, in moving forward with an aggressive electric vehicle mandate, which experts and lawmakers are warning will lead to higher consumer costs. You think? Yeah, so the district residents are already accruing savings and refueling costs from electrification, they say. Electric vehicle prices continue to decrease over time. When does that start? EPA projects that when considering all the economic incentives that are available, that's called government subsidies, the average electric vehicle will cost $400 to $4,000 less than a gasoline equivalent by 2032. Well, it's 9 years away. But you're going to go ahead and mandate this. So, yeah, your nation's capital, crime-ridden as it is also mandating a transition to electric vehicles. Look, you want an EV, go get it. I've got stories here in my hands that I might get to about, you know, how much money Ford is losing. Ford, by the way, is saying, we're seeing an uptick. We think we're selling more of them now. Never mind that we're hemorrhaging money. EPA is ignoring the glaring problem with dirty electric vehicles. That's from The Hill. Electric vehicles have almost 80% more problems than gas-powered, one says Consumer Reports. EV, you're not there yet, brother. You're not ready for prime time. You are an up-and-comer, but the world ain't ready for you yet. And yet you're being forced on us like castor oil on a kid with an overbearing nanny. Take me to a break, brother. I'm not sure where that analogy just came from. Sometimes things come out of my head and I don't know what's happening. They just come out my mouth. I don't know what's going on. It just happens. It's microphone fever. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. Final moments of today's show, and I'm on EV Go Home. Last story I'll point out here. I've got several more, but I think I'll just go ahead and stick with this one. Electric vehicles have almost 80% more problems than gas-powered ones, according to Consumer Reports. Story here on CBS came out 1 month ago today. It says electric vehicles have nearly 80% more problems and are generally less reliable than cars propelled by conventional internal combustion engines, according to a new report from Consumer Reports. Plug-in hybrid electric vehicles have an even worse scorecard with an average of almost 150% more problems. What? The consumer group found. By contrast, ordinary hybrid cars are a bright spot with about a quarter fewer problems than gas-powered cars. So the bottom line is we're being forced into something that is not truly, you know, the same standard we're used to. That's one of the issues, is you're not being allowed to live according to the standards you've become accustomed to. You're being told it's going to take you longer to get there, but it'll be good for you. You're being told it's going to cost you more to get into one, but you're going to be glad you did. You're being told, you know, it's going to be good for the environment. Never mind the fact that you realize later on those batteries are raping the grounds in certain countries. You're being told, by the way, that these are great. They're reliable. They're and yet Consumer Reports, a, you know, much vaunted organization, has a major study that says, nah, they got a lot more problems. All said and done, you want an EV, go get it. But the government needs to quit trying to mandate on the rest of us. You had a caller a minute ago. What was that?
So we had a lady from Angola.
The Angola?
Yeah.
Like Angola, like, Africa, Angola.
Like a story of traveling for months and walking and getting over here. And now has a military spouse that she came over in the 80s. I apologize to not catch her name. So if you're still listening, text us in. That same number that you called, text us in. Love to get more information, but she really wanted to point out that, you know, she's coming from an area of the world where it's kids that are getting in the mines and pulling out a lot of the minerals and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
to be able to build a lot of these cars. She's got a lot of perspective, legally immigrated in here. Has raised kids and had a lot of great points.
Yeah, let's enhance what you just said because maybe I need to do a whole segment on that, because what we're looking at is in many cases it's forced labor, it's child abusive labor, and it is to the point of being slave labor as they do, you know, the mining of these materials in what are often inhumane conditions. I mean, it really is. It reeks of people turning a blind eye to something because they want the thing.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, that's one aspect of it. And then the environmental aspect. So the environmentalists that are screaming that we're saving the environment by getting rid of emissions from regular engines. Yeah. But what else are we doing in the process? It's so much of it just doesn't make logical sense.
Yeah. It reminds me of, back in the 80s, 90s, there was a lot of talk about blood diamonds.
Yeah.
You know, it didn't matter how they got there. You turn a blind eye to it. And there was, you know, there was all kinds of tyrannical things happening to dredge up these blood diamonds, and then people in the West were just enjoying wearing them on their jewelry, it's a mess, and I hate the fact that it's being shoved down our throats. I understand if the free market comes along and makes it, you've heard me say this, and I'll say it again, this to me is the biggest issue I have with all of it. Is the fact that it's being forced by the government.
Amen.
Absolutely forced by the government. With our tax dollars subsidizing a market that is not self-sustaining. It is the government with your tax dollars is paying for a false market that is going to bottom out at some point. And then the government subsidies will go away, and suddenly the private manufacturers will have to decide, do we keep building them without government money or don't we? And then people will have to decide, do I buy them without the government money or don't I? It's a false market. When cell phones first came out, you weren't looking at government subsidies to put a phone in your pocket. But now everybody has one. Why? Because the free market did amazing things. Started off, cell phones were big clunky things in a bag that some people had, and it was a novelty. Next thing you know, they came along and it was okay to have one, but you only turned it on when you needed it. Next thing you know, you had one in your pocket, and next thing you know, you were texting, and then one day they had internet on it, and now everybody's got one. I'm just saying, free market, it works. It just might not happen at the pace of a Biden administration. All right, what an amazing day. You guys, listen, have a great night. Right Side Radio here tomorrow. We'll see you then.